In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning began, "Let us break bread together on our knees." I miss kneeling. Our reading from Isaiah had this verse, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, and well-aged wines strained clear." And our psalm, the much-loved 23rd Psalm, says, "You spread a table before me," or perhaps the King James is more familiar, "Thou preparest a table before me." Beautiful images of God's abundant table prepared for us and given to us. And then there's today's gospel, the parable of the wedding banquet. Well, it seems like this is more of the same, a banquet feast, God's feast. We need a banquet now more than ever, don't we? We need the feast God promises in Isaiah and in the Psalm. We need God's love made manifest at the table. And we need the Lord's table that we have missed so much. But something is not quite right with this parable. Why does Jesus tell this story to the chief priests and the Pharisees, with the disciples and the people listening in? Something is missing at the wedding banquet. Everyone is called to the table, but not everyone chooses to come. So this parable ought to be simple this morning. To receive God's bounty, we must show up. But Jesus goes deeper. Jesus points us to what's missing. It's not just that we show up. It is how we show up. We know from parable after parable that what Jesus cares about most is what is in our hearts. Even more than what we do, Jesus cares about our love. And that is missing in this story. Now, one method of unpacking and learning from Scripture comes to us from the 16th century, from Ignatius Loyola, a Jesuit priest. His method is now a worldwide practice across many faiths, and the practice begins with the imagination. So before we try to understand a parable or a story, we are to engage it with our imaginations. First, the physical details, the scene, its sights, its sounds, its smells, and then to enter into the story, but seeing ourselves in each role, seeing the scene from each point of view, in every interaction, and reflect on it emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. So we need to see ourselves in each part of this wedding banquet story. And one of the great things about this practice of Ignatius Loyola is that it doesn't allow for easy answers. In this gospel, for instance, it doesn't allow for the king is this, the crowd is this, the clothing is this. Jesus takes us deeper. He calls out people, particularly leaders, whose arrogance and greed and hypocrisy prevent them from knowing themselves and their own hearts, which often results in violence, intimidation, and cruelty. So today's parable begins. The kingdom of heaven, may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. Now remember, comparisons are not always favorable. So imagine this for yourself. A king A wealthy, powerful man plans to throw a giant bash for his son's wedding. It will be dazzling. No expense will be spared. It will be the party of the year. Well, why not? He has the means. He has the position. And he's invited all the beautiful and important people, not only from his own city, but the rich and powerful from towns nearby. And he's excited to see the look on their faces when they behold this banquet. Now, the party is ready, and since there are no phone lines or satellite feeds, some servants are sent to tell the already invited that it's time. It's time to come to the party. Months ago, you accepted that invitation. You kind of had to, because it came from the king. But now you really don't want to go. It will be another one of those parties. And you're willing to risk the king's anger because you figure you can make up for it later. So you make a lame excuse and bow out at the last minute. But the truth is, you don't want to go. And that is more important than showing up as promised. You learn later that in the next town, some really got into it with the servants and it ended up in a big fight, and that left some of the servants dead. So the king is furious. He orders a violent attack by his troops to destroy the whole town. And he sends other servants into the streets to invite everyone they see to this feast, and he will show them all. He will fill his hall with those who will respect him and honor him. Might that be what's in his heart? Now imagine you are at the Smithsonian with your family, and a crew of people with appropriate badges come in and invite you to a banquet at the White House. Well, you're in shorts and flip-flops, but they say it's okay that they have suitable banquet robes for you to wear. Score! Special passes. We can take pictures, we can post them on Instagram, maybe even use one for our Christmas card. We never did ask why we got invited. So what is on our hearts? Now the scene moves to the banquet hall, and we are in glamorous borrowed robes, and we look around at all the others in their glamorous borrowed robes. Servants with white gloves come by with drinks on small silver trays, and there is a giant table the entire length of the hall, brimming with amazing food, beautifully set out. We ignore that table for now, and we mingle, taking pictures. Maybe we'll get to sit near the king. Maybe he'll talk to us. That would be great. Now, here comes the tricky part of the story. Imagine it. Finally, the king comes into the banquet hall. A fanfare plays. We turn around. He is announced. He smiles and scans the room. And he sees a man in shabby brown pants, a t-shirt, and sandals, standing at the back near the table. What do you imagine is in his heart? How dare he disrespect me this way? Who let him in here? And so he walks through the now parted crowd to the man. He puts his smile back on his face, and so all can hear asks, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" Scripture tells us the man's answer. And he was speechless. Well, how did that happen? Surely there were guards and racks of robes at every entrance, and surely there were servants circulating the room. But let's switch from imagining this scene to remembering a different scene, the upper room. Jesus appears in the room, though the doors were locked, just as this man appears, as if from nowhere. And now remember that when asked to explain himself, Jesus stands silent before Herod, unafraid, refusing to participate. just as this man stands speechless, unwilling to engage in this spectacle. And it is a spectacle of the lavish power and wealth of a violent king, using the wedding banquet of his son, who never appears or is even mentioned, to impress and solidify his position. It is a spectacle made worse by the self-serving, broken promises of the invited and the easily flattered and prettied up outsiders. Now we see what's missing in this story. Jesus, as the man, teaches us. This is a spectacle with motives that are not of God, not of humility, not of gratitude, not of sincere generosity, not of love. Our hearts matter. And in these imagined scenes, we can see some of ourselves in the self-interest of all these characters. Well, at least I can. I see myself in all of them. But I don't think this parable is meant to make us feel guilty. I think the parable is meant to sharpen our senses, to open our eyes to the truth of how the craziness of this world, all its distractions and unfettered emotions, seduces and manipulates us. I think Jesus is in this parable to show us the contrast between what is arrogant and self-serving and what is real, simple, and honest, and to show us his way, to come as we are, to choose not to speak, to listen to our hearts, and to ask if our motives are of love or of ego. The violent king orders the man tied up and thrown into the outer darkness. Jesus concludes with, "Many are called, but few are chosen, and few choose the way." So where is God in this parable? Well, take away all the human beings in the story. Just clear the banquet hall. And what's left? And what's been there the whole time? That table. God's beautiful, bountiful table. Waiting, ready, inviting. The kingdom of God is in the abundant table. The table in our lives, each of us, filled with God's gifts, even in scarce and very difficult times. And we access that table through love. First, God's love for us, and then our response. And in all our brokenness, God's table waits for us to come, just as we are. God's power of love cracks open our hearts and feeds us if we let it. And that is what the chief priests and the Pharisees don't get. That the power is in God, not them. And the heart's response is love. What's missing at the wedding banquet is love. All are called to God's table. Not all choose to come. Let us gather at the table with open hearts. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us give thanks for the feast that is God's love, always here, always available for each of us. Amen.